Hey everyone, today I have one of my favorite light workers with me because she has provided such insight to some actually like family wisdom and stories that I had not even known about. After my session with Sandy Byrne, I had to go and do some research with family members and say, does this mean anything to you? You know, one of the things that she shared was something about an uncle, my godfather, that had passed and about what he did on Saturdays. Well, I was so young, he lived in a different state. So it really cultivated a lot of family conversations. And I found that her work was not only powerful, but connected, insightful. And it made me more curious about some of my family members and things that are happening around me. And even my grandma tapped in to talk about, you had initially asked me, you know, was I changing a room or was I organizing and using new colors? But I was actually changing my logo. And my grandma commented on the colors of my new logo. So it just was like so refreshing to spend that time with you, Sandy. And I'm so honored that you're joining Together We Seek today to really share your journey and kind of what brought you to the space. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here and I appreciate the invite.
Ah, well, I have so many questions and so little time. So I'm going to jump right into it, Sandy. And you can tell us along the way, but I basically prepared questions to not only get a guide of who you are, but the work that you do. So, you know, before we get started, tell me a little bit about like, how do you define mystic?
Okay, well, mystic, I'll be honest with you, it's a word that I very seldom use. And no offense, it's a word that you use more often, I think, in the States than we do here in Ireland. I suppose to me, mystical would be anything that's not of this earth. I think people use the term woo-woo a lot more now, don't they? Everything that's woo-woo.
Yeah, so I hear woo-woo, I hear light worker, I hear spiritual guidance. I think mystics in the U.S. are still have sort of a connotation that I don't think a lot of people lean into.
Really? For me, it's not necessarily a word that I would have used. I've done several courses over the years, but when I learned to do mediumship, when I learned about spirit connection, I learned it from my grandmother. And it wouldn't have been a word that was used, as we would say in Ireland, fado-fado. So way back when, the word mystic would never have been used. It was always just being connected. Okay, you know, or talking to the dead, I suppose, for want of another expression, or talking to the spirits. I think here in Ireland, people would have been very down to earth about it. You know, it wasn't anything that was mad or out of this world. Either you were connected or you weren't, you know, and that was the way it was seen. You weren't a light worker, you weren't spiritual, you weren't any of those things. You were just connected. That was it. So I guess to me, mystical is just being connected to anything that is otherworldly.
You know, that's so magical in its sense. Yeah, because I feel like here in the States and maybe throughout the world, we have people that listen from all over the world. I think the religions determine and predict how much we feel freely to talk about it, even if we're not really in a religion per se, sometimes our upbringing. And it makes me think about so many of the other people that I've interviewed on this podcast is that many of us see our gifts so early in life, but some of us turn them off and something happens later in life and we turn them back on. So when did you recognize you had these gifts and did you lean into them from the beginning?
First of all, and I know people use the word gift a lot, I would call it an ability because I don't do anything that anybody else can't do. Everybody has the ability to talk to spirit. It's like learning another language. If you can learn Spanish, German, French, whatever, then you can learn to connect with spirit. It's just a different way of connecting. And I suppose, yes, because my family would have been very connected or spiritual or mystical, you know, it was something that I just took for granted. You know, when you're little, and a lot of children do this, okay, they see something, they feel something, they hear something, but they just assume that everybody else can do it and kids just get on with their life and they go about their business. Okay, for me, the first time that I realized that not everybody saw what I saw was actually at my grandmother's funeral. I was very close to my grandmother. And unfortunately, she was only 56 years old when she passed. And I was only 7 when she passed. And I was actually with her in the hospital the day she passed. And I didn't know what passed away had meant at 7 years old, you know. And, you know, back in those days, we didn't have mobile phones. And my mother had to go to the nurse's office to ring her brothers and sisters to tell them to come quickly. And so I was sitting there in the hospital holding my grandmother's hand while she was in bed. I thought she was asleep, But at the same time, she was standing beside me playing with my hair. Now you can see I have red curly hair, but when I was little, it used to go right down my back. And she used to love playing with my hair and plaiting my hair. And she was doing this and I was chatting to her. And the nurse came in and she said, "Who are you talking to, lovey?" And I was like, "My grandmother." And she just kind of looked at me and she went pale and she went away again. But then a few days later at the funeral, we have funerals very quickly here in Ireland. Okay, if you pass today, you will be in the church tomorrow and you will be buried the day after. Okay, so we have the funerals very, very quickly. At the funeral, we had obviously the traditional Irish wake. So we went back to my grandparents' cottage after the burial and there was a few beverages had. You know, everybody was reminiscing and getting upset and blah, blah, blah. I had five uncles that were like five big brothers to me. So when I saw one of them upset, I knew something was wrong. And I said, "What's wrong with Kevin?" I said to my mother. And she said, "He's just upset because Nanny's gone to heaven to live with Holy God." You know, Catholic Ireland, it had to be Holy God. I said, "No, she's over there sitting in the chair with Granddad." And I could see her sitting, as she always did, on the arm of my granddad's chair with her arm around his shoulder. And everybody just went quiet, you know, and you could hear this like in the room. And I just thought, okay, I've said something wrong. So I stopped talking about it. But my mother was always great. You know, she always said, you know, talk about it, tell people, you know, she said, don't be scared of it. But if I can go on to the second part of what you said about people hiding away from it. For us, it wasn't about religion. Although, yes, I went to a convent school for 13 years. You know, my grandmother was extremely religious and I still have faith in the Catholic religion. But it wasn't that. For me, it was a family bereavement when I was 15 years old that turned me away from spirit, because I lost my beloved granddad. And then 10 weeks later, Kevin was killed in a motorcycle accident and he was only 31 years old. So I got angry with spirit because I thought, well, if you can't even look after us, you know, why should I do this for you? Why should I go out and read for people? Why should I read people's tea leaves? Why should I read spirit for people? Because you won't even look after me. So I was angry with spirit. So I just completely stopped talking to them. I just ignored them. You know, and they don't like being ignored. I'm sure you understand this. You know, nobody likes being ignored. Spirit, they would come into the room, they would pull the duvet off the bed, they would knock things over, take pictures down off the wall. You know, all of this went on for ages. So when I reconnected with them was actually when I was in Germany. Okay, I worked in Germany when I was a teenager, in my late teens, about 17, 18. And I was out for a run one day and I was running along the road and it was a very quiet, it was Bavaria, it was the Weinstrasse. If anybody's German that's listening, it's just like vineyards as far as the eye can see. And I was out running. I lived in a small little village and this car passed and, you know, I could feel the thump of the music. I was listening to Simon and Garfunkel on my very trendy 1990s headset with the orange foam. Do you remember those ones? And I was listening to Simon and Garfunkel. It was the only cassette I had forgotten all my other cassettes in Ireland. But I could feel the thudding of this car. You know, when a car has really loud music and you could almost feel it thudding and it went past and I can still see the faces. You know, when something happens in slow motion and these five guys in the car looked at me and I looked at them, but the car passed and it went. And then I heard this voice that said, "Run." And I thought, well, someone is making fun of me now because I am running. And I continued on. And next thing I heard this "run" again. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? And yeah. For a third time, I just heard this "run as fast as you can." Mm-hmm. So I ran and the car came back. Mm-hmm. And these five guys got out of the car and they spread out and they were searching. And I was hiding between two rows of vines. And I had the arms scratched off me and everything. And I waited there and they were searching for about 20 minutes. And then they left. Okay, one of them called the others and he said, she must be gone. And they left. And I waited for another 20 minutes. And then I ran home through the fields, through the back way, so I would meet them again. And, you know, I think at 17, you don't necessarily appreciate that kind of an experience. It was a good few years later, I read a story in a magazine actually about a girl in the US who had heard a similar voice and ignored it. And she was kept for 7 years by this guy. She had taken a lift from him in a truck. And when she went to the bathroom, the washroom in the service station, she heard this voice telling her to climb out the window and run. And she didn't. and he kept her for 7 years. And at that point, I thought, what would have happened to me, you know, if that hadn't happened? But anyway, long story short, that was my reconnection. So I thought, okay, well, spirit have helped me now. Okay. They've, you know, and I was understanding better at that point that this was Kevin's life path. At 15, it's very hard to take that in. But at 17, 18, you're maturing a little bit. And I understood that this was his path. And I really began reconnecting with spirit then from that age onwards.
Like, I need to just like let that end for a second, because like you started, we all have this inner voice that, listen, we've all overlooked it or we've paid attention to it. And I think many people have a story, you know, where they know that something pulled them to do something. And I feel like what a powerful story to remind us that we all have access to it. And that that was your turning point to say, you know what, I'm going to lean into this. So, you know, oh my gosh, well, you offer like two different services, which I honestly didn't know that people could pop back and forth. So you know, when I signed up for a reading, I was sat there for a while thinking, what should I do? Should I do a medium reading or should I do a psychic reading? I really didn't know. And I feel like I was guided then to do it. And it's funny because even when I did the reading with you, I didn't even know what to expect. I had no expectations. And a lot of the messages were for a lot of people around me too that never do this. I feel like I have the opportunity and really work to do this a lot. So can you tell us a little bit about the differences? And then how do you prepare yourself, or how do you move back and forth between the two?
Yes, I do both psychic and medium readings. And, you know, the saying kind of goes, every medium is a psychic, but not every psychic is a medium. So I would always say to somebody, you know, contact the person you're considering booking a reading for. Tell them what it is. Don't tell them who's in spirit or what's going on in your life, but tell them, you know, you have an issue in your life that you're looking for guidance on, or that you're looking for messages from spirit. Okay. And the easy way to tell the difference is this. A psychic reads the living and a medium reads the dead. Okay. So the psychic will read you, what's going on in your life, what's coming up in your future. The medium, I always say just, the medium just talks to people that are dead. Okay. So spirit. Okay. So that's the difference in a very easy, broken down kind of a way. And, you know, they are two very different energies. I started, I suppose, with my grandmother when I was very young, reading tea leaves. I suppose I was probably the party piece, you know, when you bring the 5-year-old out and she's going to read your tea leaves, because my grandmother read tea leaves. So I suppose when I was very young, I started more reading people's futures. And then as I grew up, I started passing on messages from spirit for them. But they're two very different energies. Okay. And, you know, when I started out, and I think a lot of people, when they start out, they want to please everybody. They want to give everybody everything. And while I still want to do that, I have to honor my own energy, because there's a huge difference between connecting with somebody that's there in front of you. You've got the vibration of their voice. You can see their aura. You know, you've got all these things you can connect with, or raising your vibration even higher to connecting to mediumship. So I prepare quite differently for both. Okay. Mm-hmm. I do different kinds of meditations before each style of reading. And everybody would have their own way. Every reader will have their own way of connecting. And people often ask, would you do both in one? And that's where I have to respect my own energy, because if you're going between one and the other, that's what exhausts a reader. If you can pick an energy and stay in it, like I can stay in spirit energy, I can do mediumship, you know, for as long as I can keep the spirit's energy here, or I can read you all day. But it's the going between the two that really exhausts a medium. Now, that said, sometimes when I'm reading somebody psychically, you know, their family want to come in and talk and they want to give their opinion. Okay, so I never rule out spirit coming in to give their opinion, because if they were opinionated here in life, they're opinionated in death. Okay, and they want you to know this.
That is amazing.
Always expect them to come through in a way that you will recognize them.
I just love that. I love it. And so psychics may or may not be mediums.
Yes, but all mediums are psychic.
But all mediums are psychic.
Yes.
Interesting. And do you think people develop, like it seems like you developed mediumship, or you identified with mediumship first. Did you have to work on the psychic abilities, or did those come pretty easily for you?
I feel I had to push myself psychically more. Because with the mediumship, it was second nature. Okay. And all children see spirit because children talk about, you know, imaginary friends and they talk about seeing things or knowing things or whatever. All children have it. But I suppose I was lucky in that, you know, I came from generations of readers. So nobody said to me, you know, you must have dreamt it or, you know, you must have seen a shadow or, you know, whatever. They understood what I was talking about. So it was just easy for me to do mediumship. Whereas the confidence issue with the psychic work took a lot more from me. Even though, and if I show it like, you know, like a ladder, if you're doing psychic readings, okay, you have to raise your energy from your everyday living energy up to psychic work, but past that to mediumship work. So theoretically, the psychic stuff should be easier. So it really is a matter, for me, it was a matter of confidence with the psychic work. So I had to push myself for that one. The mediumship just came. I know that that sounds very arrogant, doesn't it, when I say it like that? Because there's people out there and they're trying to develop, you know. But once you lean into it, once you relax into spirit, they will come because they're only mad, you know. And I always reference, do you remember the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Swayze?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And once she made that first connection, everyone else just flooded in. And it's really like that. You know, once you make that first connection, everything else happens.
And why do you think they say spirit, like they're going on, they're doing their own work, they're on the other side, you know, visiting and doing, but why do you think they have such an interest in watching over us or sharing information with us?
So why do spirit watch us? Okay, the way I explain it is, and bear with me, think of life like an exam. Okay, you go through a lot of stuff, you learn, you act on things in life. When you go to the spirit world, you get the results of everything that you've done here. So if you think of life a bit like a test, okay, so every decision you make, and I can use this example because somebody put it on a public forum there not too long ago. So this gentleman was considering writing his son out of his will because of an argument that they'd had. So I said to him, think long and hard about it, because when you get to the spirit world, all the lenses that you view life through are gone. When we're here, when I'm alive, I view life in a way that's based on my religious background, you know, my family background, anything that's happened to me, you know, throughout my life. Like I'd be scared now to go running in a very quiet place, you know, after what happened when I was a teenager. So all of those things have given me different lenses that I view different situations through. And that man was viewing his situation with his son through a lens of anger. Someone had let him down previously. He was afraid that his son would do this and let him down. So he wanted to disinherit him. But I have no doubt that when that man goes to the spirit world, he will see so clearly the love that he has for his son without the lens. And, you know, had he disinherited him, that would be a regret that he would have to deal with in the spirit world. So he will watch his son. Okay, so I don't know, did he or didn't he? But if he did disinherit him, he will spend years afterwards watching his son to see the consequences of that decision that he made. So what he sees from the spirit world is like the results of the exam that he sat when he was alive. Does that make sense?
Very much so.
Seeing
very much so. Energetically, it does. I think people here are so driven by their ego on the planet that sometimes they don't realize that it's all energy and that it's the exchange. Yeah.
It is.
Oh gosh, that's so powerful. So they're interested in watching over us because they're looking to see how their decisions might have impacted other people's lives, or, and in some cases, guiding us, as you had said earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. If you imagine something that you've done, like, you know, if I take maybe Ted Bundy as an example, the murderer, once he returns to spirit, okay, and I'm not advocating for him, he did some terrible things, but once he returned to spirit, I have no doubt that he had an epiphany as soon as he arrived back in the spirit world, because everything that he did was as a result of a defect in the human body. In his case, it was in his brain, how his brain was wired. Okay, we can call him mad, a psycho, whatever it is, but it was a defect in his human physical brain. But once he got back to spirit, he didn't have that defect. He didn't have that lens to view life through. So he would have been made aware in that instant of everything that he did. And he will have to deal with the consequences. He would follow the families of those victims. He would follow his own family to see the consequences of everything that he did. So it's like he's getting the results of the exam that he failed.
Wow. Well, it's interesting because I have, as I had mentioned before to you privately, that I have this place on Lake Erie, which is, you know, Edgar Casey talks about it. Many people talk about it. And the gentleman that built the house visits often. And he greets me when I come. And there's a gentleman here that was on The Youngest Psychic. He's older now, but when he was on The Youngest Psychic, it was a TV show here. He actually lives really close to the property. So I had him come out. And he said something very similar, like he's from the other side and he wants to turn this property, which actually divided his family apart in a lot of weird ways, but he wants to use the property for good. And he is working in conjunction with me and many others to use it as a place for healing.
That would be amazing. You know, and you said it's on a lake, right?
It's on a lake and he comes often. He wants to know everyone I'm bringing to the house. And his wife actually has come to his assistant that is, you know, wonderful. I love her so much. And we always talk about Mr. Brown, Mr. Brown. And Mrs. Brown came and told the assistant, who's really only into this because I'm into this, you know, is she had come to her and said, I'm here too. And so I feel like they're working in combination to change the energy of that place into something so much bigger. And I believe it is because it was for sale for 10 years. So I think it's because they're trying to kind of change the outcome of something they did here. So
he's trying to make amends for it. So he is now seeing things a lot clearer than he did when he was alive.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it amazing the way that works? And I hope, you know, and I'm sure you do, that you honor him. Like, I always remember my grandmother when I was a little girl. You know, sometimes you hear a creak in the wall or the door might open or whatever. She would always say, come in and sit down. And she would put out a chair and she'd fill a mug with tea, you know, or she'd set a plate of food for the spirit coming in. So she said, you have to acknowledge them and honor their presence. So she always set a place for them. You know?
Oh, that's so beautiful. I do, but I'll do more. Like, I always say hello to him, tell him who I'm bringing to the house, why I'm bringing him. And perfect. I think he tries to talk to my daughter. My daughter can hear things now and then, but, you know, she's still just seeing how this all goes. So she's still young, but it's really amazing. And so being in Ireland, oh my gosh. Well, I love that you explained the difference for us too, between psychic and medium readings, because for anybody who's going to look for Sandy, all her links are below. I highly encourage either of the readings. I did a medium reading and it was so powerful for me and like 9 people in my family I've shared it with. So they've all benefited from it because we had a sudden death and a lot of things that came through were so powerful. But you are in Ireland and I can't let you go without talking about these fairy forts that I hear so much about. So tell us about the fairy forts before you go.
So all dotted around the country, there are lots of what we call fairy forts. Okay, so they're like little patches of vegetation, if you like. Sometimes it's like trees or hedgerows or whatever, generally in a circle. Okay, and you will find that they could be in the middle of fields or that roads go around them because they're considered to be the entrance to the fairy world. Okay, so fairies, leprechauns, you know, that all these people live in there. Well, they don't live in there, but this is the entrance to their world. And that if you disturb it, there will be a lot of bad luck on you and your family. And such is the belief around this that actual motorways have been rerouted so that people will not disturb the fairy fort. Okay, like there's one just in the field at the back of my house. I live in the countryside and, you know, out my window here, you can see a lovely castle in the field, but there's a fairy fort in front of it. And there's lots of hunting that goes on around here, whether you agree with it or not. And last summer we saw one go into the field and I was watching it out the window and the fox, cute as a button, ran into the fairy fort, but the dogs wouldn't go in or the horses. They wouldn't go into the fairy fort. Isn't that amazing? And it's just like about 3 or 4 trees and then a lot of like overgrown grass and weeds and stuff, but they wouldn't go in there. And my great grandmother, she was a townie like me. Okay. So I grew up in the town and she married a country boy. So she moved out to his farm after they got married and she wanted to help, you know, with the farm work. So as they cut the silage, back in those days, they didn't have the machinery that they have now. So she went around with the ass and cart to collect all the silage from the side of the field. But she stayed there too long. He forgot to tell her that this field was a fairy fort and she stayed there after dusk trying to get all the work finished. And she was trapped in there overnight. She couldn't get out. So when you get trapped in there, literally you see a gate and you walk towards it and then it disappears. So it's like you're having a vision of the gate, but the fairies take it away. So they're saying like, you're in my space, I'm going to play with you a little bit. And she couldn't come out until the sun rose the following morning. She couldn't get the gate to get herself out. And he couldn't either from the other side. And there's so many stories of people. But if I can just tell you one more, I'm sorry if I'm talking for too long.
No, I love it. I was thinking of like a wood fort. I wasn't thinking that it was made by trees and vines. So the fact that you validated, like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you remember Michael J. Fox movie Back to the Future?
Yes.
Do you remember the car with the doors that went up, the DeLorean?
Yes.
So those cars were made in Belfast. Okay, that's where the factory was here in Belfast. So obviously after the film, the cars got like hugely popular and everybody wanted a DeLorean. So the gentleman needed to build a bigger factory. So he had to clear a site to build this new factory. And in clearing the site, he destroyed a fairy fort and his look changed. We don't see DeLoreans on the road anymore, do we? They're gone. Mm-hmm. His company went from up here to down there immediately after he got rid of the fairy fort. And my husband, his family are Irish, but he was born and raised in London. So I imported him back here. He was working on a project some years back and it was a motorway project. And the engineer that was running it was German. He thought, oh, pish, all these, you know, fairy forts. And he gave the instruction that the fairy fort was to be removed on the Monday morning because, you know, it was holding up his job. It was going to cost more if they had to reroute around the fairy fort. So that gentleman died suddenly in his 40s, in his car on the Sunday evening, and nobody would work. The day before the fairy fort was due to be moved, and nobody would touch the fairy fort. And that's why I say the road had to be rerouted because nobody would work on the patch of land where the fairy fort was. I don't know, would you call it superstition? I wouldn't go into a fairy fort. I wouldn't. It's just bad luck. Yeah.
You would not go into a fairy fort.
No, definitely not. No grow to be trapped in there overnight, but I definitely don't need any bad luck in my life, for sure.
So yeah. That's interesting. So it's essentially, they call them over here, they would say portals, but we don't talk about them freely like this. And so they're basically designated areas where fairies, leprechauns, and other spiritual energies go in and out of, and it's their door in and out. You really should not use their door.
That's exactly what a fairy fort is. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Oh, so you've been, I mean, this family, like, it just amazes me, the history of your family and how I feel like each version, each generation has evolved in. And do you feel like you talk about your spirituality and the work that you do more freely than your mom and your grandma? Was it behind closed doors or were they pretty fluid about the work that they did?
Amongst the family, yes. But outside of that, probably not so much, if I'm honest, because look, you're going back, you know, from, I mean, we're very multicultural here in Ireland now, but even if you go back to the 1990s, 1980s, it was very, very Catholic. Like when I used to walk to school, where I live, there's a huge cathedral and right across the road is the college where they used to train all the priests. So every morning when I was walking to school, you could see 1,000, 1,500 student priests processing across the road from the college to the cathedral for morning mass. Like this was very, very Catholic. You wouldn't have said that you talked to dead people. I would say it wasn't something that they announced publicly, but my great grandmother lived in a little village here in Ireland. And like, she was an amazing person. She took children in from London during the war. You know, I would call them my granduncles, but we actually weren't related by blood. They just stayed with her after the war. And she lived in a cottage in the Irish countryside with no telephone or anything. And people used to queue up outside her door from 6 o'clock in the morning. So if people need you, they will be guided to you. That's the way I always feel about it. The amount of people that I read for that say, you just came up on my Facebook feed, or I just came across you on Instagram and I was just feeling like I needed something. So I do think that you will be guided in the direction, you know, that you're needed. I mean, if people didn't need advertisements in the olden days, I don't think that we'll need them now. Word of mouth is a lot more powerful than anything else, isn't it?
Oh.
So, you know, yeah.
I love this. I honestly could talk to you for hours. I just love your journey. I love the work you're doing and everything that you just really share is just so beautiful. Sandy, what is next for you on the horizon?
Oh, I don't know. Look, I started writing a book about 3 or 4 years ago, and I have it all but written, but I've always felt, and this is my confidence issue again, and I keep having to push myself, because like I've pushed myself so much, I'll write another chapter or I'll write a few pages, and then I'm thinking, who's going to want to read this? And it's not necessarily about how to connect with spirit. It started out with writing about the family history. And then so many people were asking me about it. I thought, I'll write it down. And I'm wondering, will I publish it? I'm thinking that I'm, you know, I have it in my heart that I'm going to publish it on St. Patrick's Day. What mm-hmm. year, I'm not sure, but the book is there, ready yeah. to go. But also I'm getting more into teaching. You know, I've done it on and off over the years, but I've really been developing my teaching program for teaching mediumship. And I'm incorporating the self-love part. Okay, because you know this, you can't raise your vibration if you don't love and trust and believe in yourself. So I'm adding that component into it. I'm not Tony Robbins, I'm not Bob Proctor or anything, but you know, I've done enough over the years to help people, you know, use it to raise their vibration, to love themselves more. And that's kind of what I'm working at for 2024. You know, mm-hmm. I'm hoping maybe in 2025, I might get to travel a little bit more. I haven't been to the States since before COVID. And I used to go twice every year to do readings, but I just haven't been there since before COVID. So I'm thinking I really need to get back on the road, but I just don't feel ready for it this year.
Hopefully you'll stop yeah. over at this healing center if you come. It's outside of Cleveland, Ohio. So, and I can definitely help you with the publishing, but also Laura had said, like, if you design any tours, of maybe yeah. she's talking about the fairy ports. You might have a following with that because it really is amazing. I mean, oh my goodness.
And Laura's in County Mayo, so she's also in Ireland. So she will be very, very familiar with fairy forts. And actually, funnily enough, I was actually only in Mayo last Friday, Laura. Not for work. I went to see, there's a shrine in maybe... Some people call religion spirituality, but I was raised Catholic and I still have a belief in my faith. But last Friday, it was Good Friday before Easter.
Yes.
So I did go up to Mayo. There's a shrine. You know, Our Lady appeared in Ireland back in 1879. And there's now a huge basilica, you know, erected on beside the small little parish church where she appeared. So, I mean, and to me, that's spiritual. And I know we can talk about religion. I'm not here to push religion. But to me, there's a crossover because, you know, a figure of Our Lady and Saint Joseph appearing, is that not just the same as, you know, any other dead person appearing? Like, what's the difference? And I still don't get what the difference is and why it's considered by a lot of people such a sin. I'll probably never understand that. But personally, I definitely see the crossovers with religion and spirit and what we call spirituality.
Oh, yes. Also a Catholic girl, I grew up, I believe in the mothers. They come all the time for the work that I'm doing and God and Jesus. And I feel so blessed to have that alignment because for me, it's like my North Star in a lot of ways, like for the work I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I think if you don't believe in something, you believe in nothing. Okay. And I think you have to give everything its fair due. So, you know, you might not be religious, but don't disregard somebody else's beliefs, whether it's a different kind of religion, whether it's a spirituality, whatever it is. I think we have to be open to everything. And I think Steve Jobs, you know, the guy who started Apple, I think he was a great advocate for that. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of him on his deathbed and the vision that he had. You know, his sister wrote the piece, I think, for the New York Times. And, you know, he had tried so many things in life, but it was that vision on his deathbed that really kind of, you know, opened the eyes of the rest of his family, thinking he was actually onto something here. So we have to give everything their due.
We do. And whatever vehicle it takes to be a better version of yourself and aligned to the highest power and the purest light and the greatest light, love, I'm for it. I feel like we all need guidance. We all need guidance down here. This is crazy down here.
Yeah. And I think we have to have something to aim for too, because you'd wonder what's the point in life. Okay. So at the moment, I'm trying to lose weight. Okay. And I've ordered clothes the next size down. Okay. Because it gives me something to aim for. And if I had that belief, and I'm not dissing people that do, but it wouldn't work for me to have that belief that there's nothing after death. Well, then, you know, what am I doing this for? Okay, why don't I just go out and steal money and, you know, kill people? You know, I really have this belief. it just works for me. And I think whatever works and makes you get out of bed every morning is a good thing. Okay. Mm. So keep being you. I'd say to everybody, just be you. You know, honor yourself and your ancestors in whatever way suits you and whatever way feels right for you. Mm. The one thing that I learned, but it took me a good number of years, is just, you know, don't worry about what other people think. You know, and when we're young, when we're in our 20s and 30s, we do that so much. We worry about what other people think. Once you get past that hurdle, everything is possible. Everything, you know.
This has been amazing, amazing, honestly amazing. I could talk all day. I love it. You are a natural teacher, and I feel like, you know, your words are so powerful. So thank you so much, Sandy, for joining us. I appreciate your wisdom, your insight, and also the lessons. So thank you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And that's a wrap. See you again here and over at togetherweseek.online, where you can join live discussions with energy practitioners, healers, and spiritual leaders. See you there.